If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. You're listening to Chris Smith on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
G'day, g'day. Welcome to the program and welcome to the start of a brand new week on TNT Radio. It is good to have your company. This is the Australian edition of TNT Radio, and we are live and we are visual throughout 2024. Good to have you with us. Well, the bishop who became a victim in that stabbing attack on inside his own church earlier this month, an attack declared an act of terror, he has returned to work and declared his continued support for the freedom of speech. We like this fellow immensely. He was sporting an eye guard, which is where the first stabbing attempt took place. This is a direct reference, mind you, freedom of speech. This is a direct reference to the attempt by both the federal Labor government and the eSafety Commissioner to censor the footage of his attack. He wants it up and seen by the world. And he wants it up so that people can understand how easy it is to manipulate the brains of young people to become extremist Islamic supporters. This is his intent. And it is an intent that both the federal government and the eSafety Commissioner should consider. I am so glad that he's come back to work, and that is the first thing he has had to say. I'll talk about that further first up in the program. Well, the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, has been accused of being a liar by the organiser of one of the rallies yesterday protesting against violence against women. We can now tell you why Anthony Albanese did not tell the truth and why it became a major embarrassment for the government, because the woman at the centre of the rally who organised the rally, who was in tears after accusing the Prime Minister of being a liar, has decided to explain why he was. I'll get a comment on this from Victorian Upper House MP Renee Heath in the program today. Renee has been a very loud voice in support of protection for women, and she has been watching very closely what's been going on over the weekend. We'll also discuss the return of old school discipline to the classroom. Now, I'm all for an intent to clean up classroom misbehaviour, because if you don't have discipline in the classroom, as many people know, you can't learn. And that applies to the people who are not playing up. But I wonder whether this is at all possible in the year 2024, because the classroom has become so soft when it comes to discipline. And Kyle and Jackie O, well, it's had its showcase in Melbourne this morning, and the show was full of wild, coarse, and profanity-laden language. I don't know whether you would have listened to it. I doubt whether any of our listeners would or our viewers would, but I've got to say it has created front page news across Victoria. And I don't know, is this the way you create a very successful pop music radio station? You use profanities, you go wild, you go coarse, and you shock. They call various commercial radio hosts shock jocks. Well, I have a feeling that mantle might go to those who work in the pop music industry or the pop music radio industry. To Renee Heath on all of those topics and more shortly on the program. Now, if you thought that the Australian workplace was in pretty good hands, considering the fact that we've got a Fair Work Commission, we've got a Fair Work Ombudsman as well, overseeing disputes, well, you might want to think again. The workplace watchdog has not filed a single new case against the notorious CFMEU for 18 months and has dropped 30% of the cases alleging union law breaking. This is your Fair Work Ombudsman in action. I'll unpack this with workplace and recruitment expert Graham Wynn on the program today. It sounds like we're back to the bad old days when the unions were a protected species. And my other guest today has really put her money and her career where her mouth is. Crystal Mitchell dramatically resigned in her police uniform over COVID vaccine mandates. Well, the Supreme Court of Victoria, as I've been telling you for the past week and a half, has vindicated her stance by claiming that that mandate was an illegal order which came down from the Victorian government, an illegal order. We'll hear what she intends to do, because despite what the Supreme Court has said, there's been no indication whatsoever from the state Labor government about reinstating those who lost their jobs because of the vaccine mandate. Not yet, anyway. We've got the talkback lines. They are flashing green already, which means they are open to you. And that's the cue for you to call in and have your say. It is a great opportunity to express your views, no matter what it is. It doesn't matter what subject or agenda. You can set the agenda if you like. There is no ceiling on opinion. We want to hear from you on our talkback lines, and we will drop everything to hear from you. So give us a call from the United States or Canada on 1-888-201-6425, from the UK 033-0024-1026, and from Australia or New Zealand on 1-800-670-310. You're with Chris Smith. We're broadcasting live on the Global News Talk Network. This is TNT.
Your voice heard here.
The government needs to step up and do its job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, I would say it is fair to argue that the biggest battle in the world today over the freedom of speech, and I'm talking about now as in 2024, is being played out in Australia. And just in case you haven't been paying too much attention, an e-safety commissioner, the first of its kind in the world, backed by the Federal Court of Australia, is censoring a moderately violent video, a violent act of Islamic extremism right across the globe. Yes, not just in Australia, right across the globe. Plus, Australia is the first country on the planet to introduce an e-safety commissioner, as I mentioned, an unelected public servant with a budget, wait for this, this is her little fiefdom, a budget of $51.2 million. And she has not 10, not 20, not 50 employees, 164 employees. It's a fiefdom. This is nothing short of a censorship juggernaut. And the commissioner, Julie Inman Grant, an American, well, she has only just begun. I read an article today from the human rights chief in Australia, who was actually arguing in her article that we should be supportive of the e-safety commissioner. But she said that the notion of freedom of speech carries with it duties and responsibilities. And I couldn't agree more. I think she is absolutely right. Speech that incites violence or is in contravention of the laws of the land of that country should be removed. And I don't think too many of us would have a bone to pick with that. But it is not so simple. It is not so black and white. The video in question carries with it a supremely important message for the world, for all people, that Islamic extremism still contaminates the minds of our children, and that contamination can lead to real acts of attempted murder, and it can happen so easily and so destructively. If that is not one of the most essential messages to allow the world to see and absorb and debate, discuss, and put pressure on politicians to arrest, I don't know what is. And that's why that video should never, ever have been removed. And it's not the worst thing you will see. You will see violent brawls outside of a pub on your news at 6 o'clock tonight that are far more violent than the one you saw in the church at Wakeley three Mondays ago. But Australia has established a global moral arbiter to censor what might be our right to view. The human rights chief used two quotes in her article. In 1941, US President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "The very first essential human freedoms was freedom of speech and expression, the bedrock of democracy. We cannot take freedom of speech lightly." Salman Rushdie famously described it as the whole thing, the whole ball game. Free speech is life itself. And I just wonder whether Australians have gone through at any stage in their history the full-on appreciation and discussion of the essence of freedom of speech. I don't think we have. We certainly haven't in our school classrooms. So we tamper with this concept We censor moderate violence, which has enormous potential to warn the world against violence and make changes. We do this at our peril. Even the target of this confirmed act of terror, Wakeley Bishop Mari Emanuel, is reaffirming the importance of free speech, underlining our right to see what happened to him and learn from it. I couldn't be more supportive of what he had to say. Here he is returning to the pulpit yesterday for the first time since he was stabbed multiple times.
Every human being has the right to their freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Every human being.
He was making that comment, backing up a statement he released last week, which intends to support the further viewing of the act that saw him injured. He wants that video to remain on servers, on X, but it's been taken off because of the eSafety Commissioner. And now the eSafety Commissioner, armed with the Federal Court of Australia, are trying to have it off servers right around the world. Now, as we know, social media platform X and its owner Elon Musk is challenging the federal court's jurisdictional right to order X to remove the video on all servers worldwide. It is a fight I think all supporters of freedom of speech should back, including you, including me. And it's also worth understanding that Australia's power to censor what we see, what we say, doesn't end with the personal choices of former Twitter censor Julie Inman Grant. A proposed misinformation and disinformation bill is being designed for the Parliament's vote this year. Now, Australia is not first on this. This has been going on in various pockets of the world for the past 3 years, ever since COVID-19, the pandemic, was over. I wonder whether the way governments controlled us during that period had any say or any motivation behind various governments putting together a disinformation and misinformation charter. I have a feeling it's directly connected. But the tentacles of censorship in Australia's new authoritarian regime are about to be put on steroids, just like they have been in Scotland. The legislation would require the digital platforms to adopt a code of conduct, violation of which would constitute misinformation or disinformation and accrue massive fines. And there's even a clause in the bill which will give both the Australian Communications and Media Authority and or the eSafety Czar the power to intervene. In other words, they will decide if there's a conflict about what constitutes something that needs to be censored and something that doesn't. So in other words, they have the end right on all disputes. Whatever happened to adults being able to make adult decisions? What happened to any one of us being able to say, I want to watch that, I don't want to watch that? Not in the nanny state dictatorship now called Australia. As two law professors wrote in The Spectator today, this attempt by the Australian government to become a global advocate for the suppression of free speech to possibly trigger the external affairs power is another egregious example of government overreach, which ultimately aims at the imposition of an elected dictatorship that punishes the dissenting voices of those who disagree with the official narrative. They are right. Those who still cherish democracy and freedom have a moral duty to fight against this authoritarian imposition of state control. Now, I'm up for the fight, and I hope you are too. This is TNT.
TNT's Pella Nuroff-Taylor.
Why do we go for the sanctity of the state, state borders, which is Zelensky's argument? He's invaded us, he said. He's invaded Ukraine. But Ukraine is not a monolithic country. It's a country where the eastern half wants to belong to another country and are affiliated to that country. So should you go with the state border or the loyalties of the people? And in our sort of soft, dovish world, as it were, I mean, the state border was a sort of Westphalian thing, I guess, in that cold, cynical, aristocratic diplomacy. But now we go with people's sympathies, you know, it's all supposed to be Democrats. But very few Western journalists talk about the truth about who the Donbass people are and where their loyalties are, and the fact that they've always lived there. They're not invaders or intruders.
Pella Nuroff-Taylor on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission. On air 24/7, this is today's News Talk TNT.
Yeah, good to have your company. I do want to stress that when I say that I'm up for the fight and I hope you're up for the fight, you've got to take opportunities that occur to you. And on Sunday, May the 5th, that's next Sunday, there's a national rally to save freedom of speech that I would implore every one of our viewers and listeners to attend. It's also, and you probably were aware, that it was originally designated to say no to digital IDs. Well, that's all well and good. But since that has been set up for May the 5th, we've had this incredible ruckus over freedom of speech. And in many ways, it's a bigger fight than the digital IDs, although they're one and the same. They're about freedom. They're about control by government. People around the world rallying against the globalist agenda to suppress freedom of speech and digital IDs are imploring as many people as possible to attend. It starts at noon in Sydney, in the Domain. It starts at 11 a.m. in Brisbane at King George Square. It starts at 11 a.m. in Melbourne, steps of Victorian State Parliament. There are rallies in Adelaide, Perth, Darwin, Canberra, Hobart and Cairns. Those locations will be announced tomorrow. There's one at Mackay at 11 a.m. at Bluewater Quay. And the details can be obtained, by the way, by simply going to the website onenation.org.au, onenation.org.au. So as you can see, the movement to restore our right for freedom of speech, and that is what we say and what we see, is now up and running, and we have opportunities to make a difference. You must attend these rallies. I intend to be at the Sydney one, and that will be at noon at the Domain. Let's go to some of our callers. Siv has just phoned through. Hi there, Siv.
G'day, Chris. How are you going?
Very well, thank you, mate.
That's good to hear. Yeah, just on that whole discipline in the classroom thing, I agree with some of your summation. That might be, look, I don't dissuade for a minute the government trying to attempt to do something about that, but I mean, how do you do that when you've kind of discouraged it over the years, and when you've kind of said, well, you can't sort of, you know, small things like, well, you can't sort of mark in red pen because that might impinge on the self-esteem of the poor little darlings and all that BS that we've been.
You can't raise your voice either, can you, Sid?
You can't raise your voice, no. They can't do that. No,
you can't say, stop it! You'll be in trouble.
It's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. And so I applaud the government for at least bringing it up and trying to do something about it. But I think it's going to take time, don't you?
Yeah, I don't know how it works. I like the idea. I think, you know, if you're underlining points about behaviour in schools as one of the, I guess, the trenches that have not succeeded in the past 15 to 20 years, I think you've isolated the right point. I think you've isolated something that has had a detrimental effect on our grades. There's no doubt about that. Because, you know, if you've got a class that doesn't concentrate because someone is allowed to play up badly in class, the rest of the class don't absorb what's being told, if, of course, they're being told anything. And so we've got to change this.
And not only that as well, the teacher spends half the time dealing with all of that, all the discipline issues.
Spot on.
And doesn't get time to actually go and do the learning, the teaching, all the rest. Now, can I just take your task on something else before I leave you? You mentioned those two radio presenters. I'm not going to mention their names. You fell into the trap, mate. They want you to mention them so that people will go, listen, what are you doing, Chris?
I doubt whether there are any viewers or listeners on the TNT radio network who will be compelled to go and listen to Kyle and Jackie O, even if I was to mention their name 20 times.
I know that. I know what you're saying. But what they're hoping is that we'll talk about what's happened because it's on the front page. They're hoping for the free ads, and by mentioning who they are and what they're doing and where they are, they're getting a free ad. What are you doing?
It's a pretty low-grade way to try and drum up some kind of following in Melbourne, though. Like, you know, talk about gays, talk about pussies, etc., etc. This is the kind of language they used on their first show. They were out to shock, and this is somehow the answer or the key to rating. Wow.
Well, I mean, but that's they've been doing that forever. I've heard those guys before, and that's their shtick. They've been doing that forever, particularly the bloke. They've been doing that for years. That's their whole thing. And if you're not awake up to that now, when are you ever going to be awake up to it? Good to talk to you, Chris.
All right, I'll take that as disciplinary action. Thank you very much, Siv. Much appreciated. Thank you. There you go. We won't mention their names again because that's not what you do. Otherwise, you send people their way. We want to get some discussion on this. So if you've got a view on that kind of broadcasting, if you're a Melbourne person in particular, and you may have switched over just to sort of hear what they were like, and do you think that they will work or will they be run out of town, you give us a call on the talkback lines from Australia or New Zealand, 1-800-670-310, 1-800-670-310. Let's go to the Victorian Upper House representative for Eastern Victoria for the Liberal Party, Renee Heath, MLC. Welcome back to TNT.
Thank you. How are you going, Chris?
I'm very, very well. Now, I presume that you spent most of your morning huddled around a radio somewhere in your house or your office listening to those jokers on that radio station and hearing them broadcast. Is that about right?
Well, I actually had to Google them and see on the Herald Sun what they were saying, and I had to stop reading that article halfway through because it was so tacky and
tacky. I think you're being really, really
gross.
Pleasant.
I think gross is probably a good
gross.
Word, but I just thought, wow, like they are just tacky is the word I think that sums them up the best.
Well, just for our viewers who may not have tuned in, and I doubt whether any of them did, but they spoke about anal sex, as you do at breakfast time, incest, freakishly long foreskins, according to the Herald Sun. This is a welcome to Melbourne, I guess. And there's been months of build up about, you know, this Sydney pairing taking on Melbourne, and it doesn't often happen because Melbourne audiences don't like to be told by Sydney people, in particular in the media, what works and what doesn't. Even one of the hosts said that she kept her pussy pristine. So this is breakfast radio, Melbourne style now in 2024. What are your thoughts on that, Renee?
Well, I think, I don't think it's the right time slot for a show like this. I think it's...
midnight.
I think that content like this used to be relegated to dingy bars somewhere, not
on the stage
radio. Exactly. So I think that's what I would say about that. Look, I just wonder how long this sort of thing will last.
Well, you tell me. You know, a Melbourne media watcher or a media listener, will young people in Melbourne be attracted to what they're hearing, find it very different to what they got on radio in Melbourne previously, and therefore make this pairing a juggernaut in Melbourne as well? Will it work?
Well, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But they're a $2 million pair, aren't they? They're getting it paid an awful lot to fill the minds of Victorians with trash. And I just hope that our culture hasn't sunk that low and that this will be short-lived. But I guess we can only wait and see. But I find it very tacky. So
this is what young Sydney audiences have gravitated towards for many, many years and made them so successful. And it doesn't say much for what we dish out in the media, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, I really don't know what to say about it because I thought, oh, well, I'll quickly look it up and read through. And it was so, tacky's the only word that comes to mind. What's your thoughts on it, Chris? I know I'm not meant to be asking questions. I'm meant to be answering them.
No. Look, as someone who's been in the radio industry for close to 38 years, I would say I understand why they work because they're a great shock value. It's not meant to be intelligent radio. It's not meant to discuss issues in an exhaustive intellectual way. They don't pretend that they're in that stratosphere. So they shock, and in particular in a new climate, they want to make sure that they get coverage in the local, in the papers, in the city, and they've got that. Some of what they have said will probably attract people who didn't listen to them this morning. So maybe they've done the right thing. And it wouldn't be the first time that sex has worked in mainstream media. Maybe they're on a winner, maybe they're not. But I'll tell you what, I think in general, Melbourne audiences take a lot of convincing that something from Sydney is better than what they already have.
Yeah, correct. I just say bring back. Maybe act then, bring back Hamish and Andy and I'll be happy.
All right. Now you're talking. Yeah. All right. Now, what went wrong yesterday is a good question. It was supposed to be one of the many rallies that have been held around Australia, and well done to those who organised them, because it's not easy to organise these things. They attracted a great gathering in just about every capital city. It was against violence against women. Anthony Albanese has shrugged off accusations he lied at the Canberra rally, calling for action to end violence against women, saying it was an emotional day for people. Thousands of people marched over the weekend. Look, I'll read something to you to explain this a little bit further, but Sarah Williams was the young woman who you'll soon see in the clip coming up, who organised the rally in Canberra. I got the impression that the Prime Minister wasn't invited to attend, but he wasn't refused his right to attend either. So there was a bit of, I think, misinformation about what was or who was going to represent the government that day. But anyway, here's how the PM and the organiser, Sarah Williams, clashed on stage.
To be clear, we did ask to speak, myself and Katie, and we're told that that wasn't possible, and that's fine. I respect the organiser's right to do that.
That's a full-out lie.
To do that.
That's a lie.
To do that.
That's a full-out lie.
To do that. We're here today to demand that governments of all levels must do better, including my own, including every state and territory government. We're here as well to say that society and Australia must do better.
That's right. Men must do better.
We need to change the culture. We need to change attitudes. We need to change the legal system. We need to change the approach by all governments. Because it's not enough to support victims.
Okay, now what I'll do, I'll go to the newsroom to get a news update, just a brief one, and I'll come back. We'll hear from Renee Heath about what she thinks of what she saw, and then I'll come back and read for you what Sarah Williams has said today about what happened prior to the rally involving the Prime Minister. All of that after the break on TNT.
Good news, people.
Now, TNT Radio News.
Here is your headline. Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. After failing to convince Americans that Russia was meddling in US elections, Washington's now pointing the finger at China. Beijing is demanding an international investigation into the attack on Russia's Nord Stream pipelines. And Australia is sending another $100 million worth of military equipment to Ukraine, taking Canberra's total spend on the war so far to almost $1 billion.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk. TNT Radio. TNT Radio.
Okay, let's return now to Renee Heath. Now, that was a very embarrassing thing to happen. So he gets up at the rally, stands in front of all of these people. He was being heckled before that, I noted. He was being heckled before that, and then he made that statement voluntarily that he was invited and then somehow not invited. And then Sarah Williams says he was a liar and then openly weeps with her fellow organisers in their arms on stage, a very dramatic moment. According to Sarah Williams in a post today, the Prime Minister of Australia lied to his country today. Representatives from Katie Gallagher and Albanese's offices both said this morning that they were sure Katie would be happy to speak, not the Prime Minister. Albanese's office made it clear he was just walking and was not interested in speaking. Myself and others never denied him speaking. He never asked to speak. For him to not only demand he speak because he was being heckled, but lie was disgraceful. He demonstrated today what entitlement looks like. A man with power trying to diminish a vulnerable young woman. I thought the last bit was a tad over the top. I would back the stuff up before I'd back the conspiracy, Renee Heath. What's your thoughts on what happened?
Look, that was a strange thing to watch. I think if you get up and start your speech by saying, I wasn't invited to speak, you're off to a bad start. Like, even yes. That, you're sort of all of a sudden thinking, hang on, well, what has gone on here?
Yeah.
So you can't stand in solidarity with somebody who has just called you a liar because somewhere along the line, trust has been broken. So whatever you say from that point on is really going to look, whether it is or not, it is going to look like it's self-serving and disingenuous. So I'm not in the position to say what is true, what happened, but I do think that we can all agree that he probably handled himself poorly. So should he have continued at that point? Well, I don't think he should have. He probably shouldn't have started like that. He shouldn't have shrugged it off. Because one way or another, sometimes maybe he was trying to protect himself, but he did make it out like she was then a liar. So rather than actually focusing on exactly what it is there, which they probably agree on, they have just made a complete mess out of things. Yeah. And I think it's very sad. But I think on another note, I felt upset when I saw him and the Premier, Jacinta Allen, both marching and saying that governments need to do better and be held to account. I felt so infuriated because they are the government.
Yes.
And I actually felt sick when I saw Jacinta Allen making posts about that because I personally asked her personally, when she is going to adopt the reforms that were the result of one of these women that did die at the hands of a man because she was stalked. And we've spoken about that many times here.
Mm.
And I've also asked the Attorney General, who's also female, when are we going to, when are we going to adopt these changes? The work has been done. And I have just, all I've got from both of them is a letter saying, you know, we're so sorry that this woman died. It would be so hard for the family. We're considering the recommendations from the Victorian Law Reform Commission. Well, how long do you have to consider them for? And I just felt so sick watching that, knowing that I personally and many others that sit across the benches have asked for change to happen, and they shouldn't be out marching. They should be in their offices getting their numbers together, making sure that we can make these changes happen. Because I tell you what, the crossbench wants it. The opposition wants it. I just don't know what's going on.
Okay. I'm going to take a bit of a break because we've got a small technical issue that we need to iron out. We'll do that very quickly. We'll come back very quickly, Renee. Well said. I think you're spot on in all of that. How can the Premier of Victoria start saying, oh, we need to do more as a government, when for the past 6 months she's been dogged by you and others to try and do something on a set of recommendations she has on her table, for heaven's sake? No excuse. It's an outrage. It's hypocritical. I'll take a break. We'll come back with you, Renee, shortly on TNT.
As a combat-wounded veteran, I know how hard it is to come home and build a meaningful life. When I was in Iraq, our vehicle was hit. A rocket-propelled grenade exploded right under my seat. Traumatic brain injury, a fractured pelvis, severe burns. They didn't think I was going to make it. I had to learn to walk again and live with the scars, both visible and invisible.
DAV helps veterans like LaToya get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
With DAV on my side, I was able to pursue my dreams. If my story can touch a heart, it can change a life. My victory is overcoming my wounds so I can help other veterans.
Latoya Lucas, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Thanks for listening and being a part of the Chris Smith Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we've ironed out our tech problem. Thank you so much for being patient with us. So, Renee Heath, we have heard what you've said about what's gone on and the hypocrisy that comes from leaders who sit there yelling for government to do something when they are the government and they've had opportunities is just out of this world. But all of this coincided with police charging a Perth man with the murder of his partner, and it marks the 27th man charged in relation to the death of a woman in the first 119 days of the year. Let's get back to why they marched. I think that's an important thing to do. It is outrageous that this goes on.
It is outrageous, and there are gaping holes in our legislation, and women are falling through the cracks at record numbers. And this morning I was listening to the radio as I was driving into the office, and some people were saying, you know, this is a cultural issue. Legislation won't change this. I actually really disagree with that. A lot of those men that offended were out on bail. That is something that you can change.
Yeah.
I don't think violent offenders should be allowed to be out on bail. We need to have much tougher consequences. And the second thing is we've just got to hurry up and implement. So many times inquiries are done and then we've got this nice, beautiful looking inquiry with all these recommendations and it goes straight on the shelf.
Yeah.
So there is no reason why 2 years on from the inquiry into stalking, nothing has been done. There are 45 recommendations sitting there ready to go that support victims from the minute they call the police all the way through to court action if it gets to that. And that is something that we shouldn't be messing around with. We are getting to, this is beyond crisis point. 27 lives is far too many. It should not be happening in a nation like Australia, and we have the resources to halt this, and we just need to do something.
Of course we've had the resources. We've got the intelligence, the knowledge, the wherewithal. We should be doing something about it. You're right. There's an idea that came out of the Liberal coalition in New South Wales today that I thought I'd run by you. The opposition wants electronic monitoring of DV accused. I can't see what would be wrong with that.
Well, that's actually something that Celeste Mano's mum, Aggie, was asking for. And they have just said absolutely under no circumstances. I think that, you know, accused, I think, is one thing. I wouldn't be comfortable if somebody was just accused of something and was given an ankle bracelet. But I think, and what I think the government in New South Wales was saying, is that if somebody is let out after a domestic violence charge, they should have, or on bail, they should have an ankle bracelet. And I completely agree with that. I think that there should be huge consequences for people that perpetrate these sorts of crimes. I also think that they should be given to people who have breached intervention orders. And that is something that so far it's almost been laughed out of the chambers, but I think it's something that we should be looking at.
I couldn't agree more, because if you've got form for breaching an AVO, if you've got form for turning up at a place where you shouldn't be, if you've got form for hitting a woman on a previous occasion, the public has every right on her behalf to put an ankle bracelet on you.
I personally think so. So I think, you know, if somebody's just accused of something, I think that we need to be dealing with that a lot better. But once there's been breaches, there's got to be a consequence for that. And I think if people are not going to be in prison after violent attacks, I think it's something we need to be looking at.
All right, let's talk about schools. Old school discipline returns in a new national rollout after a Senate inquiry heard horror stories of ill discipline. Like, we're talking about complete and utter mayhem and chaos and violence in the classroom, and you just wonder how widespread this would be. The problem is, as Siv mentioned in our first call that we had earlier today, Renee, is that what can you do as far as punishment is concerned? What can you do as far as discipline is concerned in 2024?
Well, I think this is a very interesting one, and sadly, schools are becoming increasingly unsafe. And this Senate inquiry heard of students throwing furniture at teachers, assaulting them, and stealing and vandalising their property. And you wouldn't expect anyone else to put up with that in a different professional work environment. And in fact, the OECD found that Australian classrooms have one of the worst disciplinary school climates in the world.
That's right, they did.
And there was another one that showed that Australia ranked 69th in terms of classroom discipline, and only 7% of students report feeling safe in their classroom. So something needs to be done, not just for the safety of the teachers, but for the other students that are there to learn. And they shouldn't be exposed to violent outbursts and feel threatened by that. So this new model, it sounds like it's really earth-shattering. It's actually common sense, I think.
Back to the future.
It's talking about explicitly teaching behaviours like telling kids to raise their hand before they ask a question, getting them to stand behind their chairs until they're dismissed. It really is something that is so basic. But I do fear that it might be like turning the Titanic around. Culture and the discipline and standards of our schools have been declining over many years, that some might feel it might be too little too late, but we've got to start somewhere. And I think there still is a problem that there's so many woke academics that are saying this will damage children because it's like treating them like they're soldiers in the army. I completely disagree with that. Children respond to clear boundaries. It gives them a sense of security, safety, and of justice.
And they're children. They're not adults. They're children.
They are. And I never forget, many, many years ago, I was at a health promotion event, and there was and I wish I could remember who it was that was speaking, but they were talking about an experiment with children and fences. And they had schools with no fences, and they had schools with fences. And what they found is that where there was that clear boundary, a fence, kids would play as close to the boundary as they could, where if they didn't, they would stay as close to the school. And what they said that this means is kids actually find safety in boundaries. If it's like, this is where you're allowed to go to, they will play till there, but they feel a lot safer. Yeah. And I think that it's true, and it's something we've forgotten. Yeah. And in Victoria, I'm on the Legal and Social Issues Committee, which is currently inquiring into the state education system. And I have to say that what I've heard from teachers and students alike is what was reported in that Senate inquiry. Teachers having to deal with violence, children moving to homeschool or to other schools to get away from the chaos and violence. Last week, I heard from a teacher who said that she tried to expel a student because of dangerous behaviour, but then the department didn't back her. So that student was allowed back into school and just acted as if there was no consequences for their behaviour.
Terrible.
This sort of thing has to stop. And the second thing is we need to start teaching our teachers in university how to use discipline, how to manage a classroom, and how to teach. And I think those things alone would make a difference.
Because although it's only correlation, don't tell me it's not causation. That is, Australia has one of the worst discipline problems in our classrooms around the world. And we also have this plateauing, almost a reduction in our educational standards as well. Don't tell me that the two are not linked. They are definitely linked. And we need to focus more on what goes on in the classroom in terms of stability, in terms of a lack of chaos, in terms of, boundaries in place, because otherwise we won't be able to teach the next generation. They'll emerge from school without understanding what they've been taught.
Exactly. And over the last two decades, we have seen an incredible increase in school funding. And that has been met with a decrease in school standards.
Yeah.
So this is something that we've got to turn around. It's been clearly linked with the us moving away from science-based practices such as phonics and away from classroom discipline. So And by the way, it's not really that old school. The cane isn't coming back, thank God. This is just discipline, common sense, manners and respect, and I think it's long overdue that we return to that.
Well, I got to say, I was from the cane and strap era. And I reckon I got about 100 whacks of one or the other. And I've got to tell you right now, it did me no harm whatsoever. And it shut my big fat mouth when I was at school, and I actually did learn things.
Maybe it is spare the rod, spoil the child. Must have some merit to it then.
I know it's not coming back, but I got to say it went away too quickly. All right, now we started talking about media that was probably best left to the confines of others, but this is good news. Mr. Squiggle is going to return, Renee. We've got to have a Squiggle Day.
I cannot believe this. Where did you hear this? Because I can't see this reported anywhere.
You can't find the story. I scan every possible. I can't remember where I found it either, by the way, because
that
I found it about
or something like that.
I found it about 7 o'clock this morning, and when I saw it, I went, "Yippee! Mr. Squiggle is back."
That is sensational news. I think that's absolutely wonderful. A blast from the past, I think.
I think it's fantastic. Some good news. Again, another example of Back to the Future. You see, it wasn't all bad in our day. Or my day.
They'll never get rid of anything, they say, don't they? It all comes back.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Renee Heath. Fantastic to have you on the program as usual.
Thank you so much for having me. All the very best. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, will do. Renee Heath, MLC, representing the Liberal Party for Eastern Victoria. And it's interesting, isn't it? There's got to be not just a correlation but a causation between the lack of discipline in classrooms in Australian schools and the fact that we no longer have the decent outcomes in marks and results that we used to have in this country. And yet we're throwing billions more at education each and every election. So work that out. It's got to be a lack of discipline, because we are creating chaos in a classroom when all we need is stability, sensibility, and an environment where you can learn. And you can't learn when the teacher is having, you know, battles ongoing and running battles with various students in the classroom. Renee Heath, MLC, good to have her on the program today. Rita has sent me an email, and Rita says, "You have been on fire about freedom of speech and censorship." Thank you, Rita. "I was so disgusted with Peter Dutton falling in behind the Marxist scum that I rang his electorate office." Good on you, Rita. "Spoke to one of the underlings, a real smart, eh? As soon as I said freedom of speech, he accused me of being a part of a phone campaign and trotted out his talking points. If you think we are going to give pedophiles and terrorists free rein, blah, blah, blah. I tried to tell him about the anger out here, that they are crapping on their base, but he shut me down lickety-split. Of course, in 10 years, he will be shunted into a safe seat and have his snout in the trough forever. I think you are a forgiving person more than me, Chris. Dutton, let the scum wedge him, and he fell for it. I really had hopes for his leadership, but they have lost me." So there you go. That's what Rita thinks about the opposition saying, "We agree with the Greens. We agree with Labor. Come on, we've got to get rid of stuff on the internet." No, this particular video, some moderate violence, has a message that is far too important to censor. And yet we've got an Australian e-safety czar who wants to not only censor it in Australia but censor it around the world. This is not what we're here for, especially someone who's been brought up on the proviso that we push for transparency, not censorship. Censorship gets us nowhere. We end up falling in behind the government narrative and the government of the day, and that is the last entity we should be falling in behind. Well done, Rita. I appreciate your comments on all of that. That's fantastic to get your message. Stack of other things to tell you about. I do want to repeat what I indicated earlier in the program about this freedom of speech rally. It's only become that over the weekend. It was a rally that was designed to protest against digital IDs. And in many ways, protesting against digital IDs and a lack of free speech is very much one and the same. It's about government control. So for the first time that I can remember, we've got a rally being formed in just about every capital city and every major capital city, so we can go along and voice our disapproval at the control government wants to have over us. I cannot think Maybe a few were held during the COVID period, but I cannot think of a period in which Australians were asked to come out and protest against government control. This is our great opportunity. This is your opportunity. This is my opportunity. This is the opportunity of my family, my friends, to turn out on Sunday and have our say. It's May the 5th, Sunday, National Rally to Save Freedom of Speech and to say no to the digital ID bill. This is all superb, a superb opportunity for people to have their say. Last week it was Brazil. Next Sunday, the 5th of May, it's Australia's turn. And you saw the numbers at the Brazil turnout. It's Sydney, noon, Speaker's Corner, the Domain, opposite the Art Gallery. Brisbane, 11 a.m, King George Square. Melbourne, 11 a.m, steps of Victorian Parliament House. Adelaide, Perth, Darwin and Canberra, Hobart and Cairns, locations to be announced tomorrow. And there's one at Mackay at 11 a.m. at the Bluewater Quay. So there you have it. If you want more information, all you've got to do is go to onenation.org.au. onenation.org.au. I couldn't think of a better opportunity to express what we think should go on in our world. This is Chris Smith on TNT.